Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. Through Moses, God worked miracles in an attempt to convince the Pharaoh to let the Israelites out of slavery. And we've all heard the story of the 10 plagues, you know, turning the water in the River Nile into blood, frogs appearing everywhere, then lice and flies, making all the livestock sick. Yeah, you wouldn't want to make stock out of sick livestock, would you? Then made everyone break out in boils, and then there was hail and locusts, which destroyed all the crops, turning the day into darkness. And finally, we get to our reading this morning, the death of all the firstborn children and animals. Now, none of the Israelites suffered the horrible and overwhelming loss of their firstborn. Only the Egyptians did. And for this to be possible, Moses told God's people to sacrifice a lamb and put its blood on the entrance of their homes to mark their home. And the next morning, they were to be ready to pack up and leave with Moses to start a new life. And the Jewish festival of Passover celebrates that moment when God literally, and the angel of death literally, passed over the Israelites' people that night before their exodus from slavery in Egypt. Now, the rituals of sacrifice from our Hebrew tradition still influence our theology today. At the high point of our Eucharistic prayers, as the priest holds up the communion wafer and breaks it, she says, "Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So like God delivered the Israelites from slavery to Pharaoh, we believe that Jesus' death and resurrection, we are delivered from the slavery to sin. Now, thankfully, we don't do actual sacrifices like our ancestors did. Yet, we are asked to sacrifice for God. And our sacrifice is letting go of following what we want to do and what the world suggests we do so that we follow God's laws and Jesus' teachings. And we talk about this all the time, that summary of the law, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And that's really important because that is how we acknowledge Jesus' sacrifice for us, by loving God and loving each other. And of course, this love isn't just having internal thoughts of sweetness. This love needs to be expressed in what we say and what we do. And that takes us to the gospel reading. Jesus gives us some specific instructions for dealing with sins in a community of believers. And last Sunday, we checked our prayer book, and sin is, according to our catechism, sin is the seeking of our own will instead of the will of God, thus distorting our relationship with God, with other people, and with all creation. So we follow Jesus' instructions on resolving a conflict every time we come to worship. Bet you didn't know that. And we're going to go through it today. After the lessons, the sermon, the creed, and the prayers, we all pause for a moment. We consider our sins, what we've done against God and our neighbor. And then together we confess our sins in thought, word, and deed, by what we've done and what we haven't done. And then we say we're sorry, and we humbly repent, and then we are forgiven. As the last part of our confession states, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. It is so wonderful and amazing that God always forgives our sins, no matter how serious they are, as long as there is sincere repentance, a true turning away from the sin, and a return to living as God wants us to. So after we do that, in our worship, then we do the peace, where we share God's love with each other, and then we move into our expression of a sacrifice, which is Jesus' sacrifice for us, when we move into communion or Eucharist. So like the Jews remember and celebrate Passover every year, every time we worship, we remember Jesus being our Passover sacrifice when we gather around the table for the bread and the wine. So these steps of acknowledging our failures or our sins, asking for forgiveness, working towards restoration, and then remember in thanksgiving what God has done for us and that God does provide reconciliation, these are keys to getting along well in a community of faith. And it also works in our families and with our neighbors and anyone that we meet. And here's the really hard part. The only thing that can mess this up, that can get in the way of God forgiving our sins, is our refusal to forgive the sins of others. As Jesus said in our gospel, whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. And we also acknowledge this every time we say the Lord's Prayer, which we do right before we come up for communion, to receive that spiritual food we so desperately need. We say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So being a follower of Jesus, really practicing our Christian faith, is a sobering realization for many of us. You know, yes, there are sweet moments, and there's favorite holidays, and there's a community of really nice people, but it is so much more. Living out our relationship with God and being the people that God has called us to be, well, it takes effort and sacrifice. And the thing about sins is often we only think of what we have personally done wrong. And, you know, our American ethos is so focused on being an individual that it makes sense. You know, it's my personal faith, and that's all between me and God. But what about the sins of a community or the sins of a business or a government? As followers of Jesus, we are no longer isolated individuals. When we profess our faith in Jesus, we're transformed from being concerned only about ourselves into people who are in relationship with all of God's creation. And again, we acknowledge this when we say the Lord's Prayer privately. It's still our Father who art in heaven. We don't say, just my Father, my private God, do we? No. So living in community based on faith requires thinking of each other, not just of oneself. And of course, there's going to be conflict, right? That's just a part of life. It's how we manage our disagreements and conflicts where our faith can make a difference. And Jesus asks us to forgive and reconcile. We're asked to reestablish close relationships by accepting that we all sin, we all make mistakes, and we all, thank God, can be forgiven. And that is what we do here in our worship service. We confess, we get forgiveness, and we share that peace which is beyond all our understanding, and then we come to the table to remember Jesus' sacrifice for us, and we express our thanks for it. That's what Eucharist means, giving thanks. Our liturgy is more than a ritual. It is so much more than going through the motions. We're actually in real time doing these things. We're sitting here together, acknowledging our faults, asking for and receiving forgiveness. Then we share Christ's peace with each other, and then we say thank you to God. This isn't a symbolic act. If our hearts are here, we're actually participating in both giving and receiving forgiveness. and we're engaging in redemption from isolation into community, from despair into hope, and from the oppression of being a slave to sin to being a lover for Christ. Jesus wants us to love each other and to act in accordance to that in the way that we treat each other with our words and actions. And boy, we need God's grace to offer that love that keeps on loving, the forgiveness that keeps on forgiving, those second chances over and over again. And this is difficult work. It is so hard to forgive others, and sometimes it's even more difficult to forgive ourselves. So we work on it, and we practice it. Now, I want to be really clear. For those who have been wounded or who have been a victim in any way, forgiveness and love do not and should not, in most cases, be delivered to the person that hurt you. Once we realize that someone is not safe, we've forgiven our hearts, and we love by praying for that person from a safe distance. We don't interact. Forgiveness doesn't include forgetting. Forgiveness is the stance we take within ourselves towards another person. This requires a lot of God's help, but it's never dependent on interacting with someone who's not safe for us. Forgiveness is letting go of the resentment we hold against another person, and it frees us. If the other person ever asks for forgiveness from God, it's between them. Forgiveness sets us free to love again as Jesus asks us to love. And trust me, it is a process, and it's a gift for yourself to not harbor the hate or resentment or the sorrow or the wounds any longer, to give that to God so that you can love. God passed over the Israelites' families who put the blood of a lamb on their doorway so that they could move from slavery to sin to lives that were free from that oppression. Jesus is our Paschal Lamb, our Passover Lamb, so that we could move from slavery and oppression to sin to a life where we're free to love each other, to share acceptance and forgiveness, and then be transformed into the people Jesus wants us to be, loving God and loving our neighbors. Amen.